We are joined on the line this morning by NASA's Chief of Staff, Gabe Sherman. Gabe, good morning. How are you today?
Doing great, gentlemen. How are you guys?
Great. Big, exciting day for this Launch America, where we've got nearly a decade since we've launched manned space from U.S. soil. Tell us, I guess that was not since the last retiring of the space shuttle, right?
You got it. You know, and I think a lot of folks in our country just, they don't realize that, right? They know that we've been sending people to the International Space Station, but they don't realize that it hasn't been from American soil. And so 2011, when we retired the space shuttles, you're absolutely right. That's the last time that we did that. So this will be the first time in almost a decade where we are launching American astronauts on American rockets from American soil. And man, if that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will.
Tell us about Bob Behnken and Doug Hurley, those who will be launched into space today.
Absolutely. Two of the best America has to offer. Got to spend some time with them yesterday. Of course, they're in quarantine, so it was on the other side of some plexiglass. But, I mean, these are two just steely-eyed veterans. They have flown shuttle missions. These are the best of the best. These gentlemen have trained and prepared their entire lives for missions like this. You know, this is only the fifth time in United States history that we've launched a new vehicle, to space with crew on it. And so, you know, it takes a tremendous amount of guts to do what they're doing. And sitting with them yesterday, they are calm, cool, collected. It's really impressive to watch these guys operate.
Gabe, can you take us through the process of what happens when the vehicle actually docks with the space station? Is it usable from that point on, or is it just there?
No, it absolutely is usable. That's a great question. And so the Crew Dragon will dock with the International Space Station, and it will remain docked for the duration of the mission that the gentlemen are on. Again, this is a demonstration mission, so we're really testing out, you know, everything with the vehicle and the crew capsule to make sure that we can move towards operational missions in the very near future. So that crew capsule will stay attached to the International Space Station. Their mission duration is going to vary just depending upon the needs of the station. But then they will get right back into that crew capsule and come right back home to Earth. And when the Crew Dragon, that's the capsule that they're on, whenever it enters Earth's atmosphere, it will actually splash down in the Atlantic Ocean. That'll be the first time that we've brought crew home with an ocean landing since the Apollo era. So it's an incredible capsule. It's been designed in a way that is very, very user-friendly for the astronauts, very safe. And I know that they are looking forward to flying it.
I remember some of those. Well, of course, I remember the Apollo program. I've seen some of the capsules, and in a way, they didn't look like all that much. How are they different now?
The technology in these things is just incredible now. Clearly, there's been a lot of advancements since the Apollo days. But imagine sitting, I know Elon Musk and SpaceX, there's close ties to Tesla. Imagine sitting inside of a cockpit that is just designed with state-of-the-art touchscreen technology. Cutting-edge research and work was put into designing this to make sure that it is the best of the best for these guys. So it is an incredible vehicle. I had the chance to see it up close not too long ago. And I think what the crew really appreciates is how user-friendly it is. And so they're really looking forward to flying it. It's a big leap from where we were in the Apollo days, everything from the shape to the technology inside.
I have to say, I chuckled a little bit before, because when I was researching this and clicking on some of the links in space.com, and then it had another link to take me to the actual information about this the demo too, up pops this little ad, and there's this white interior with what, and I look at it, and then it says 2020's luxury SUV takes your breath away. So somehow the Google ads put in basically a white interior of something which I could look at, and if you told me that was the interior of your spacecraft, I would have believed it too. But with things being able to be miniaturized and technology being able to work, obviously they try to make it as efficient, it's comfortable, but yet maintain the, I gotta assume, the weight limit and everything else that goes into this. Talk a little, can you, about this sort of collaboration with SpaceX. We sort of have sort of the private sector, in a sense, getting involved in what government used to take care of.
You bet. It's an incredible partnership. And you mentioned it earlier, the space shuttle days, that NASA owned operated, managed everything that had to do with the space shuttle, right? And so the American taxpayers, you know, funded the shuttle program. And you look at commercial crew, and this is an opportunity. We are kind of changing the business model, changing the way that NASA does business. So we are entering into commercial partnerships with commercial providers. In the commercial crew program, you're looking at SpaceX and Boeing specifically. And we are actually buying a service at this point. We do not own the capsule or the rocket. We are paying SpaceX for the service of taking our astronauts to the International Space Station and bringing them home safely. And so it's a big shift, like you said, to go from owning and operating to buying a service. But what's unique about that business model is it allows us to take the taxpayer resources that we have and invest them in areas that the commercial markets aren't ready for. So you look at the Artemis program, which is this administration, the Trump administration's moon program, moon to Mars program. We are able to take more of our resources, operating with partnerships like this, we're able to take more of our resources and go places that commercial is not quite ready for, invest in those types of technologies while paying for a service with our commercial providers on the commercial crew program. So it's a unique way of doing business. It allows us to get the most out of the limited resources we have at NASA. We're thrilled with the partnership with SpaceX. They are just an amazing company, and the collaboration between NASA and SpaceX on this program has been incredible. So we're thrilled with the setup.
When you were picking the dates and planning this all out, obviously coronavirus was not on anybody's mind. Now that we're sort of into this, what precautions are being taken for NASA? You know, people thinking, well, you don't want to transmit this to the space station or whatever like that. I'm curious to know what things are being done for that.
Great question. You know, the idea of quarantine is not new to NASA. You think about our astronauts, it's kind of standard protocol for them. And so we've done everything that we can in keeping with our processes to keep Bob and Doug safe. And they've been in quarantine for a number of days, and we've been extra cautious about everybody that even comes close to crew quarters as we've approached launch. But I'll tell you, it's a real tribute to the NASA workforce. You know, we were one of the first agencies to kind of move towards mandatory telework because we just knew that some of our missions were so critical that we couldn't risk breakouts at the center. So we moved that way, and the NASA workforce has done an incredible job keeping commercial crew on track. We have a Mars launch in July. We're keeping that on track. And so we've done everything that we could to keep our people safe, to keep the astronauts safe. And like you said, nobody was planning on it, but it's a really proud moment as somebody that works at NASA to see the way that leadership has approached the pandemic and done everything that we possibly could to keep our astronauts and our team safe.
Many times during the years, the space and the awe of sending somebody into space and what that means, inspiring young people, as well as just sort of giving us, I don't know, a sense of pride of how we're able to accomplish something like this. It still amazes us that we're able to get off this planet and head into space.
You know, that's such a great point. And I think right now, you mentioned the pandemic. I think we need moments like this in the situation that we're in. You know, this is a unifying moment. Space is one of those things that kind of captures the imagination of everybody. It brings people together. I mean, we have partnerships across the world in space, even whenever on Earth things might not be as good as we might like with some of our nations. But man, in space, people find a way to partner. And it is a captivating, idea, that the idea of sending people into space. And so I think we have a unifying moment here for the country, something that everybody can be proud of and share. And you mentioned the fact that you guys were able to see Apollo. You know, I'm somebody that I didn't have that experience, not saying that you guys are old by any means. I just didn't have that experience. And so the idea of having an Artemis generation where we're getting to send the first woman and the next man to the moon and see how that inspires the nation and inspires our young people to pursue careers in STEM education. We're thrilled that NASA can help provide those types of inspirational experiences. And so we believe this mission will be one of those experiences.
We're not old. I just had a library book I used to take out when I was a kid called We Will Travel to Space. And it was basically, you know, how this might look in the future. We're still getting there. And, of course, I also used to take out the flying car books as well. So we're always trying to figure out the imagination and what might be possible. I guess there's a big event going, not only the launch around 4:33, but there's ABC and National Geographic. Can you talk about how people can sort of watch this or see this or experience this in a different way, too?
You bet. Yes, there's a few different people that are carrying live coverage. You know, being that I work at NASA, well, I'm going to put in a plug for NASA TV. I think that's it. And so you can go to nasa.gov/live and watch this on our website and go to NASA TV and watch it. We have an incredible broadcast coming up that kind of captures a little bit of the history of a human space flight, but also just takes people behind the scenes for this launch. Getting people's kind of access to moments that they've never seen before as the astronauts proceed to the launch pad, filled with lots of great information about the program. And so I would encourage people to go to NASA TV or go to nasa.gov/live. They can watch this. And I would encourage them to get their families with them. You mentioned inspiring the next generation, and this is going to be one of those moments that will do just that.
Well, Gabe, we appreciate your time this morning. Gabe Sherman, the Chief of Staff with NASA, joining us, talking about Launch America. We'll have it on the air here for the launch coming up just after 4:30, if weather permits. If not, then I guess Saturday is the next chance, right? I guess they always have to have plan B, if not C and D, right?
Yes, there's some things we can't control, weather being one of them. This weekend, if we push today, then Saturday or Sunday we'll make it happen.